Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with the Reading Post for Friday, December 12th. My name is Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com, an independent Reading fan site and blog. And I'm delighted to be joined, as always, by Get Reading's Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, hello, how are you?
I'm very good, Dan. How are you?
Yeah, not so bad, thanks. Very much in the Christmas spirit. What have we got? Less than 2 weeks now.
I know, I think 13 days. I'm sitting in my front room and looking at a Christmas decoration that my missus put up, and it's actually got 13 days till Christmas right on it.
Yeah, and 14 days until Brighton finally get their first win in ages. Although I think they're playing Millwall tonight in a real, already what's looking like a relegation six-pointer. So hopefully they'll get that record off their back before they face us.
I know, I saw that on the TV advert actually, a Friday night thriller that. Right, well. The form they're in.
It's funny, you know, we're so preoccupied by Reading for obvious reasons that you don't notice sometimes how other teams really struggle. And for the criticism that Nigel Adkins gets, I mean, the team that pipped Reading to that playoff place on the last day of the season sits inside the bottom three alongside the team that finished one place above them, Wigan. It's crazy how things can change.
He's not had a good start, Sammy, is he? He's certainly struggling. And you got to wonder how much longer he's got if results don't improve. I think a lot of Brighton fans are expecting a bit of a season struggle, but I don't think they're expecting him to be where they are.
Absolutely. Well, anyway, another team that is down in the bottom half of the table is Bolton, as well as Reading, and the two sides combined to produce a majestic 0-0 performance on Saturday. I'm sure you'll agree it's up there for Game of the Season contender. The DVD's coming out shortly. Understand it's, to be fair, you could probably make one of those little flip books. The highlights from that game. Somebody tweeted into the main show saying, I saw the highlights on Vine. And I think that tells you about all you need to know, really.
Yeah, it's not one that's going to live long in the memory. Or if it is, it's going to be for the wrong reasons, not the right reasons. It was a bit of a pre-Christmas shocker, especially the first half, which was as turgid as you can possibly get almost. The second half, things picked up a little bit and Reading had chances, all from set pieces, really. And you probably look at it and think they probably should have won. If Michael Hector had his shooting boots on, they would have won maybe by a couple of goals. But yeah, it was a pretty dreadful game, and I don't think anyone can complain with a point.
Do you think that was we had this debate again on the main show, do you think that was a step forward or a step back? Because I argued that while it was far from inspiring or entertaining, the fact that they did keep another clean sheet and got another point on the board, I said it was one of those very, very small steps forward. They're actually at least building up some confidence, if only in the defence.
I think, yeah, I mean, yeah, you can certainly look at it like that, and it's 4 points from two games. And I think at the start of that, if you'd have said Norwich and Bolton, what would you want? To most fans, they probably would have said 4 points would be good. I'd imagine it'd be the other way around, probably a draw at Norwich and a win against Bolton. So, I mean, it's a decent return given the run of form Reading have been on. Like you said, it's and I think Nigel Adkins said afterwards, it's a bit of a building block. And I guess it was, but even that, it's hard to look at it like that, just given the manner of that performance, especially at home, coming off the back of a good win at Norwich. I think everyone expected a little bit more from Reading. It was a disappointing game. It was just a horrible, horrible atmosphere match. It was just quiet, drab, cold. It just wasn't an entertaining 90 minutes. I don't think many people, when they were filtering away from that stadium, we'll look back at it with any great fondness. It was certainly a world away from the last time Bolton visited Midacey Stadium.
Yeah, but sorry, go on.
No, like you said though, but it is a little bit of a building block. It's 4 points from two games. It was defensive solidarity. They never really looked like scoring Bolton. I think there was one good save by Feds and that was about it. So like you said, I mean, you can look at it a couple of ways, and there were positives there, and I'm sure Nigel Adkins on Monday at the training ground would have got the players down, sat them down, showed them some videos and said, look, it weren't pretty, it wasn't good, but it's 4 points from a decent week, and now let's move on and try and improve the actual football and the performances.
Yeah, I mean, the weird thing for me was I came away and there was few players I could say, oh, they had a bad game, but it was just a weird one. I mean, where did you put the finger on? Where was it going on? Where was it breaking down for you?
In the middle of the park, I think, for me. There was nothing there. There was no... I got my high horse a little bit the next day and did a big opinion piece about it, and just how I really think Reading miss some players. They're just searching for an X factor in that side, and they just don't have it at the moment. Obviously, we got McCleary coming back, and he showed last season that he could do something out of the blue and, you know, suddenly score a goal from 30 yards or skin a couple of people down the right and cross for Alfie to score. So obviously him coming back is going to help that. But I still think in the centre of the park, the link between midfield and attack is something that's been missing, not just this season, but last season as well. You never see midfielders getting beyond the forwards and helping them. So I think Jem Carrajan did it a couple of times before his injury against Watford in that 3-3 draw, I remember. But other than that, since I've arrived and been covering this club, I just don't see the midfielders getting beyond the forwards and supporting them in an attack, or that little sort of diminutive number 10 who can just create something out of nothing. And I look at teams like Bournemouth when I go there. Both times I've seen Matt Ritchie sort of floating from the wing, coming inside into central positions, setting up the forwards, going beyond the forwards, scoring goals. Those sort of players. I mean, look at Lee Chung-Yung for Bolton. He was the best player on the pitch, only shining light last week. And again, he is that player. He's got that free reign in that number 10 role. You can just, he's just a class above everyone else on that pitch. And I really think Reading miss that. And until Nigel can go out and sign a player like that, I'm not sure the performances are ever going to sparkle to the extent that an awful lot of fans want.
Yeah, I said to you off air before, my only lingering hope is that when McCleary does get firing, as you mentioned, he can create that. And with Danny Williams getting up to match fitness and just the team generally playing together a bit more, maybe it'll click. But I'm worried. I'm still worried. And I said it's more in hope and in expectation now. And the needle is gradually swinging more and more that way. But still, you can win games of football by being defensively solid. So, I mean, maybe that's Nigel's way while he seeks to rebuild, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, but you just look at it and all the chances against Bolton really came from a set piece, didn't they? I mean, and they did look a real threat. I think Michael Hector and Jake Cooper are going to scare a lot of defences from set pieces because they're big lads. But although they're not going to scare them if they finish like they did, especially if Michael Hector finishes like he did last weekend. But even at the Norwich game, obviously both goals came from a set piece again. So that's where the threat is at the moment. From open play, Redden's struggling. I think it's about 8 goals in 8 games at the moment, and 6 of them came against Blackpool and Rotherham. I might have got that wrong, but it's not much. They're averaging about a goal a game and have been for a fair while now. They're not opening teams up. They're not creating a lot. And you say Danny Williams and McCleary, and I certainly agree about McCleary. But as much as I really, really like Danny Williams, I think he's an excellent player and Redden missed him massively. He's more of that sort of driving force, the engine room in that midfield. And he was so important in that role last season. And he did get forward and support the attack. I suppose the goal at Charlton last year on that breakaway when Danny Guthrie slipped him in and he hit it in the top corner. He can provide that, but I still don't think he's that spark. That's someone who Reading can really sort of turn to create for the forwards. I think they lack that. And if they could sign someone like that in January, for me, I think that's obviously there's a lot of talk about it's Glenn Murray or no. Or if they sign Glenn Murray, then they can't sign anyone else at the moment in January. It's kind of looking a little bit like that. But for me, I think the most important thing Nigel Atkins could do is get some sort of central playmaker who can play just behind the forwards. And I think that'll just make the world a difference to Reading.
Yeah, we'll just go back and get Guilford. It's fine. Exactly. Don't need him.
It's so hard not to bring his name up when you're talking about that sort of player. Guy is obviously as in dream world there, but that sort of player, I mean, it would make such a difference.
There's a reason Reading sold him for what, 7.5-8 million. Yeah. He's gone for that several times since. So
it's like I said, someone like that would turn Reading from workmanlike, which is how I see them at the moment, to exciting. And it would certainly bring players like McCleary into play even more, because when he makes those runs forward, he's got someone he can actually find them with a perfect ball, perfectly weighted. And I just think, like I said, it would turn them from workmanlike to exciting, and it may well be what's needed to bring a few more bums on seats at the Matstad, because attendances are dropping and they're not going to improve with performances like that against Bolton.
Yeah, and while the temperature stays low as they are as well, freezing on Saturday.
It was.
Not good.
Tomorrow at Birmingham's going to be even colder by the looks of it. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Wrap up warm, folks. Well, we mentioned, you said there, it's looking increasingly like it's Glenn Murray or no one. And one of the reasons for that, and some shocking figures really coming out this week, as you reported in Get Reading, was the debt level of Reading's former holding company, Reading FC. What is the exact name of the former holding company, Charles?
Well, it's Reading Football Club Holdings.
Yeah.
And so that's like the umbrella company that... But it, like you said, it was a holding company, but it's now the parent company of Medeski Stadium Hotel Limited, which is basically just the stadium side of things. But Reading Football Club Limited is a separate entity. But when TSI failed to secure their takeover, and all the shares got transported back to Reading, so RFC Holdings had to bring RFC Limited back into their under their umbrella, so to speak, and in doing that had to bring all the debt and the borrowing and everything else back under their umbrella. And in doing so, their debts shot up by more than £46 million in a year to the eye-watering figure of £65 million.
Not going
to
do much for their credit rating.
No, not at all. Obviously, since then the Thai takeover has happened, and so things have changed in that way. And so, like, the entire share capital now of RFC Limited has been taken over by the consortium from Thailand. So I think next year when you see RFC Holdings' financial report, it's going to look a hell of a lot different. But I just think what it shows is just how dire the financial situation of the football club was. The fact that in taking on RFC Limited, RFC Holdings' debt rocketed by £46 million. That shows the dire straits that the football club was in prior to the takeover and prior to the ties coming in. So, I mean, it was scary figures, and let's hope sort of a year down the line we're not seeing these sort of numbers repeated again, because it was certainly eye-watering.
Do you think this is something, I mean, this is the overall question, I suppose, that Reading fans will be looking at. Is this something to worry about in the now, or is this something that, again, is just an unfortunate byproduct of the past year's strife and that we're over the hill? I mean, what's your gut feeling on it?
My gut feeling is it's worrying. There's no way it's not worrying. But I think when you look at it, things have certainly improved. The ties have come in, and as much as, you know, I know they're getting a bit of grief and they're not talking too much, but they have steadied the ship. You know, players have been allowed to arrive before the takeover was even completed, and I don't think anyone would be doing that if the situation was completely as dire as these kind of figures make it look. Obviously, in this debt, it was prior to the takeover, so there's sort of Vibrac loans amongst that debt, that's been paid off now. Definitely has been paid off now to Vibrac, so that debt's coming down already. Obviously, 18 million of it was already RFC Holdings was already 18 million in debt the year before this. So I think you're looking at football club debt. When the takeover was going through and I was reporting on it, the debt figure that I kept hearing was sort of 25 million, 30 million, and that it was gonna, and the ties were taking that on. So I think it's worrying, obviously it is, but I think if you look at pretty much every football club in the Football League, certainly in the Championship, then it's just a financial mess. And it's not, you know, the money's just not there. And as you look at, like, Bolton, who we played last week, the situation that they're in, and it's not good, knowing that pretty much whatever club you look at it, and Reading are trying their best to get themselves out of it. And so I think, yeah, we're just going to have to... It kind of mirroring what's going on in the country at the moment. I think I said it last week. We're in an era of austerity. I think at Reading, that's here to stay for a while these figures, these debts get sorted out and get the club back on track.
Indeed. Well, I figure it's unfortunately it's going to be something that will probably be brought up again before the end of the season, but hopefully not in such serious terms anyway. But moving on to another topic that unfortunately we seem to have to discuss every week, the injury situation of the football club. And the basic series, it doesn't seem to have got much better in the past week, Charles.
No, I think you can just basically edit what I said last week and play it again, because nothing's changed. I think everyone who's out is out, and no one who was in has gone out, if you see what I mean. So it's as you were to last week, and it's pretty much expect it could well be the same team. I mean, the big talking point again, I guess, will be how Robson-Carney, does he keep his place again, given his performance last week? I mean, one decent sort of run and cross the side in the first half, he offered nothing, was replaced midway through the second half. Does he keep his place in the team?
I think 9% of fans that voted for our squad selector wanted Robson-Carney to start.
Well, I mean, he's just not warranting a place in the team for me at the moment, and yet he continually starts. So Nigel obviously sees something that we don't, and, you know, he may well be excellent in training every single week, and Nigel does enough to make it impossible for Nigel to leave him out. But you got to say, I mean, each game that goes past without a goal and assist, it makes you wonder how on earth he is staying in the side. You got sort of feel for Nick Blackman a little bit, I think, in this, because he'd had a decent start to the season, Nick Blackman. Yeah. And like last year, he was playing pretty badly, Blackman, and yet getting in the side. This year he played pretty well, and now he's not getting in the side. It doesn't really make sense, and I don't quite understand what's going on with that.
All I can say, and again, I've said this on the other show as well, is that I think he's gambling on potential. I really think he's hoping that something clicks and that Robson Kanu turns into that powerful, tricky player that can score goals that we have seen in flashes over the past, what, 3-4 seasons at Reading, and whenever he seems to turn out for Wales, although playing alongside Gareth Bale probably helps there.
But how long can you do that?
I agree. But I think he's giving it with his resources. I think he's just giving it every time. It's like buying a lottery ticket every week, I suppose. You know, the odds of you winning aren't a lot, but if it does, it's going to pay off in a massive way. And Robson Kanu, though, is increasingly looking like a lottery ticket rather than a sensible investment of time and effort. But I suppose we'll see. I can't see him dropping him. I can't see him putting in another forward player away from home.
I can't see Simon Cox coming in away from home. I was surprised that Simon Cox didn't start last week, because I tend to think Nigel away from home, Cox comes out the side, but in at the Mad Stad he comes back in. But he start with Robson Kanu, and I agree with you. I think he'll stick with him again tomorrow. I think he'll be the same team that we saw last weekend.
Well, what can we expect from Bowman other than a cold day out?
I'm going, and it's a away game, defeat. So I think we all know what we can expect. And I wasn't there even last season. I missed Birmingham away actually, because and Joby went and scored his only two goals.
Good omen for Howe.
Yes, you never know. You might well do a Joby McAuliffe. Even Chris Gunter got an assist that day as well. So it was a good day all round at St Andrews. Birmingham lost to Blackpool last weekend, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
after going on a good run that's in the beat a host of decent teams.
I know, so you just don't know, do you? I mean, I was confident last week Reading would get a win, they didn't. I can't say that they're going to win away from home, because I just had not seen it this year, and I'm just not convinced. I just see the same away performance sort of each time that I go, and apart from Wigan away on the opening day, which is the best performance I've seen away from home this season. I just think they're gonna struggle. I really think we're gonna see a draw.
Okay, well, I was gonna say, what is your prediction then? Yeah, got a bit of work to do to catch Johnny. He snuck another point into the lead with a predicting a draw against Bolton, even if it wasn't the right scoreline. This week, I've gone for 1-1. Johnny's gone for a 2-1 Reading win, and Westy's gone for a 1-0 win.
0-0.
You're going 0-0.
Yeah.
Cool. Right, logged and logged. Right, again, I don't think that means nobody's predicted a defeat, so we know how that ends, guys. So if you fancy some extra money for Christmas, go lump on Birmingham. Meanwhile, let's talk about something good to end the show with. Some good news on a personal front. We mentioned in the show about your position, obviously, with the Get Readings move from print to a purely online, and it's on the Get Reading website that... You're staying.
Yes. After a couple of weeks of discussions, I've agreed that I think we'll sort of stay as we were and keep going. And no, I'm quite excited about it. Obviously, I didn't want to go. I'm very much enjoying what I'm doing at this moment. I'm enjoying the club, and you know, I've got good rapport with fans, and I didn't want to leave. And after a bit of discussions with sort of those above and in the corridors of power, it's decided that we'll keep the status quo, and I'll stay on. So no, I'm very much looking forward to it. And like I said, it would have been a tough decision to leave, and I'm glad that we've been able to come to a sort of agreement and stick around. And I'm looking forward to seeing the second half of the season improvement and Reading fighting for the playoffs.
Indeed. Well, just on the note of the print, it's Monday, is it next week the last edition?
It is. Yeah, Wednesday's the final Reading post, and then Friday's the final Get Reading, and I'm actually off now for until after Christmas.
So you've jotted your last word for print.
I know, so I'm done. Well, actually, I'm off at the moment, but as I'm speaking to you, I've got my laptop in front of me, and I'm just writing up a couple of stories for next week's paper that I've got. So I'm filing my last little pieces now. So yeah, it's gonna be sad. I'm actually quite disappointed. I'm not gonna be in next week, because it's gonna be quite an emotional weekend for a lot of people.
Can you let us in on any potential surprises or features that are planned?
I can't, to be honest. No, I think there's been a lot of meetings this week, but like I said, since Tuesday, I've been off, and so I'm kind of out of the loop, I have to say, on exactly what's going on. But I know that there's been some big meetings about how it's going to happen, and I think people want the paper to go out with a bang. So I think it will certainly be a paper to go and pick up on Wednesday. Like I said, it's quite sad that I'm not going to be there, because I think it's going to be quite an emotional week, but a good week, and it is a shame. But I suppose you've got to look to the future now, haven't you? Yeah.
Well, one door closes, another opens.
Indeed. So no, I'm off now. I'm at Birmingham, and then I'm filing stuff over on Sunday, but then from then I'm off until the Norwich game on the 28th of December. So I've had to sort of squeeze an awful lot of holiday days into this last week, because of a lot of holidays being cancelled that was planned because of what's been going on at the paper. So I had to fit it all into a very short space of time now.
We'll have to hassle Jonathan then.
I know. It's a shame they haven't got about four away games during the time that I'm away, because I might come back and Rendon will be in the playoffs.
Indeed. Exactly. Right. Well, that just about finishes up today's show. One final plug. If you do listen to the main edition of the show, and I highly recommend that you do. I like to think we do a decent job on Mondays as well, or Tuesdays, whenever it comes out. We are recording our Christmas show. Charles, you were with us last year down the Spread Eagle. I like to think it was quite a good night. We handed out some awards, had a few pints, and just a general good chance to meet some of the listeners and just have a general chin wag before the end of the year.
Yeah, no, it was a great night last year. I very much enjoyed it. Got yourself into the festive spirit a little bit early. Yeah. It was very good. So yeah. I urge everyone who's around to pop down and join in the fun.
Yeah, and it will be being recorded at the Spread Eagle pub in Tylehurst, a stone's throw from the former Elm Park and the Tylehurst end. So everybody welcome. I said we'll be pressing the record button about 7 to give us time to finish before the Monday night football kicks off. So everybody's welcome. Come on down. You can try and dissuade me from handing out the Underachievement Awards, Hal Robson Canoe. Hal, that includes you. You're all welcome down to have your say. And I said it would be nice to put some faces to names that we read out, tweets and whatnot. But in the meantime, I said we're going to take a break now. This is the last podcast extra before the new year. So until then, thanks very much for listening. I said we will be back. It'll be in association with, I presume, Get Reading rather than the Reading Post.
Yeah, Get Reading now, not Reading Post.
Okay, well, maybe a new logo. Who knows? All sorts of festive things to think about. But as I said, Charles, thanks very much for joining me throughout this year. It's been good, and I will speak to you in 2015.
Yeah, have a great Christmas and have a great New Year, everyone who's listening as well.
Indeed. Thanks very much, Charles. Take care. Have a good Christmas.
Bye-bye.
The Tylehurst
End Podcast. Read the blog on thetylehurstend.com.